Welcome to America Tonight, each and every show. Of course, we tee it up with the true insiders in the Beltway, and actually beyond that, from Talk Radio News, Victoria Jones, one of our favorites, joins us now. Hey, Victoria, it's cooler now in D.C., isn't it?
Not today. It was in the 90s today, pretty hot.
So if it's in the 90s, there's a reason why they call it Foggy Bottom. That means you got that high humidity, too, right?
Blistering. I mean, it's blurry. It's foggy. You swim.
I don't like that. But the good news is that everybody pretty much is away, so you don't have to worry about running up and down the Capitol steps, right?
There's nobody doing any running. And, yeah, everybody's out of town, and they're all off on the campaign trail. Absolutely, yeah.
I think one of the best things that I heard of the day is what Obama had to say at a campaign stop in Colorado, where he was talking about Mitt Romney wanting to take women back to the policies of the 50s. Flush that out a little bit for us. Wow, that's a big shot.
It is, and he's campaigning in Colorado, a swing state, where he's not doing as well as he is in other swing states. In fact, he's polling there not as well as Romney is, and he was speaking to a crowd of nearly all women. It was a really fiery speech, and this was the speech in which in Denver, in which he was introduced by Sandra Fluck, the recent law school graduate who was at the center of controversy earlier this year. And yeah, he said that Republicans want to take the nation back to the policies more suited to the 1950s than the 21st century. And he basically emphasized the differences between him and Romney. He said Romney would take the Affordable Care Act and kill it dead on his first day in office. And he said the decisions to affect a woman's health aren't up to politicians or insurance companies. They're up to you. And then he went after Romney specifically. He said he'd get rid of Planned Parenthood. And he went on and said that it wasn't up to anybody's boss to control the health care you get. It was up to you. And nobody should be able to deny you contraceptive coverage, and an employer should not be able to do that. And he said that Romney would take the country backwards. He said, let me tell you, there's nothing conservative about a government that prevents a woman from making her own health decisions. Freedom is the chance to determine the care you need when you need it.
Ooh. All right, so he can beat that drum, especially in front of some of those crowds in Colorado, absolutely. In the meantime, Mitt Romney was in Iowa, and you and I were talking just before we jumped on the air here together about Romney talking about wind power. They were talking about wind power, and there's, I think, kind of a faux pas for him with other Republicans that he was around. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, another swing state, he was calling for developing a long list of energy resources, one of which was wind power. Mm. But what he didn't mention, it was pretty obvious, was that he opposes a tax credit for the wind industry. Well, the state's Republican leadership favors that. Governor Terry Branstad and other members of Iowa's congressional delegation have been really critical of Romney in recent days for not backing what is a long-standing tax break for wind energy. Iowa employs about 7,000 workers in that industry and supplies 20% of the kilowatts. And Branstad told Iowa reporters that the Romney campaign suffered from, quote, confusion, unquote, over the issue, and he hoped to talk with Romney so he would become educated.
Ooh, so he would become educated. So it might have been a tough day for Romney when you add all of that up. The other thing is there's a big press to find out who the VP is going to be, because we're just weeks away from the convention in Tampa, and the name that keeps coming up is Congressman Paul Ryan. What do you think with all this speculation? Is he the heavy favorite now?
I think he's one of the favorites, but I think Republicans are divided into a couple of camps, and I felt this for a while now, and I was interested. I'm starting to see articles come out about it, because he's a very risky pick, because his budget, it's wonderful to pick that budget apart, and economists on the left have done so, and when you look at what he proposes for Medicare, it's very easy to say that he wants to defund Medicare and he wants to end Medicare as we know it. And if you want to start going after the senior vote, a vote that to some extent is a safer vote for Romney, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we'll see. I mean, every day different names pop up. You have to assume that it's going to happen sometime soon. In fact, even one of his campaign people, and you know this, Victoria, released a statement saying that Mitt says, just because somebody's already been chosen to speak at the convention, it doesn't mean that they're off the list for consideration of VP. I thought that was interesting. What'd you make of that?
I thought that was a very interesting statement, too. I mean, I think he's certainly going to decide to do it fairly soon. He's got this fourth swing state bus tour coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
And for a while, I was thinking he might decide to do it on Friday and take the person with him. And then I thought, well, you know, that's awkward, because then he's going to go to those swing states with somebody who's not from those swing states. So maybe it makes more sense to go to the swing states, campaign with the governors from those swing states and the people in those swing states, and announce it afterwards. There's so many ways you could do it, but it's all around this weekend, is my feeling.
Yeah. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again. You heard Victoria at the top. I asked her about the weather. You know, it's interesting. I just saw some new stuff that was released from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA to you and me, for short. And you know that July was the hottest month across the country since they started keeping the records in 1895. How about that? Boy, you don't have to tell me about that, though. I'm telling you, it's like you're wilting in the great state of Texas, where our satellite facility is. And pretty much all around the country, we've had our days, haven't we? That's why we've talked so much about the crops and farmers struggling to keep things alive between corn and soybeans and whatnot, and cattle that they can't feed, cattle that they can't sell or even kill. And this is a big disaster all waiting. It's very, very, very tricky. Coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we'll talk more about the Olympics. Gold, gold, gold. I'll tell you what, day 12 was one of the best days. Beach volleyball. Yep, the dynamic duo won their third consecutive gold. I'll tell you about that. I will give you a little hint for everybody that's in the medal race here on America Tonight. 80 medals in all for the United States, or actually 81 medals. 81 medals, China 77 at this point. They still have a few more gold. I think the highlight of the day, even though it was inevitable that this was going to happen, but Americans Misty May Traynor and Kerry Walsh Jennings making it that three-peat, beating fellow Americans April Ross and Jennifer Kessie, who are the up-and-comers. They get silver. Pretty cool stuff. Also, mixing it up when it comes to the odds and ends of what's happening around this country in the nooks and crannies. Yep, the stuff that you're all talking about, besides the weather and besides the terrible shootings that have happened, the unexplainable things in Colorado and in Milwaukee. But coming up next, so excited about this. You know, I'm just a geek for space exploration. And we have the Curiosity, the NASA Curiosity rover, sending back its first picture. We're going to talk to one of my favorite space people coming up around the bend. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Mars, signs of anything on Mars. How long have we waited to hear more about the red planet? You know that I am just so geeked up about this, and so are many of you, because we had Tomas from Michigan just the other day call up and say, it's going down, it's happening, it's all exciting. So the rover Curiosity touched down on Mars on Monday after traveling hundreds of millions of miles through space to explore that red planet. One of my favorite people to have on the show. It's nice to welcome him back. Rod Pyle, you might remember and you might have read Destination Mars, New Explorations of the Red Planet. You might have caught him on the History Channel, Discovery, that kind of stuff. He's always working on documentaries. He's all over the place when it comes to space. So we are glad that we cornered him, tethered him for a few minutes anyway here on ATN. Hey, Rod, how are you?
Good, how are you?
you know what? You needed to be an astronaut. That's what you needed to be, an astronaut.
Oh, man, I wanted to be, but, you know, I was the wrong age. All those guys are already in their 30s by the time I was 10.
Yeah, there you go. That's always the problem. Timing is the thing. So how big, for everybody listening who's like, oh, man, she's talking about... Now, a lot of people in this audience will love hearing anything about Mars and the Curiosity and all that stuff, but for other people who say, oh, but all that money that's being spent, what a waste. Tell them why it's not a waste. Whoop, we might have lost Rod. I think we did. We'll have to get him back. See, the second I said that, he left his feet. He left his feet. So, something happened to him. The red dust got him. You know, in talking about the Curiosity and talking about what's going to happen, the whole exploration, like I said, is there going to be signs of life on Mars? You know, what ultimately is the goal of the Curiosity? That's the thing. After all that's gone in to making this happen, and I talked about this a little bit on one of our last shows, the fact that you have so many people tied to this, that isn't it great that we got you know, people that at NASA, after the shuttle program was downed and so many engineers and so many people were without jobs. Isn't it great that we've got now this mission happening and the fact that you have more people that, like 700, something like that, 700 people are now part of this whole thing. So that's pretty cool for them to be involved with the, you know, with the curiosity. So anyway, we're hoping to get Rod Pyle back on the show somehow. He slipped away, and I'm going to save all the good stuff for Rod because I know he's going to want to talk about it. And I'm going to look at a couple of other things on this big day at the Olympics. Like I said, day 12 in the Olympics, and with that happening, and then you've got the curiosity going on. And then, of course, there are several other things that I say are creating massive buzz across the U.S. right now. Besides the heat, because heat is always part of the combination of conversations that we seem to be having with each other. I call it, you know, that elevator buzz. And because of that, this has been able to switch in a couple of different directions. Unfortunately, it's something we didn't really think about with the whole drought stuff and whatnot. That's why that we were talking about water and things that would happen on Mars. I think we got Rod back on Earth again. Hey, Rod.
Oh, sorry about that. It must be that time lag from Mars.
That's what I said. You left your feet. I knew it. So why should people care about what's going on with the Curiosity?
Well, as I was going to say, you know, for some context, the total budget, which is $2.4 billion, and it went over budget quite a bit. It was originally substantially less than that. But that includes the first 2 years of operations, so that's the primary mission, is the same as about 4 days of combat operations overseas, or the equivalent of a bailout of a very, very, very small savings and loan. So when you look at it from that point of view, it's not a tremendous amount of money. The other thing that I think is important to bear in mind is, you know, all this money is spent here. One of the few things America still does better than anybody is space. And all that money is spent here, the fasteners, the electronics, almost none of the components are sourced overseas. So if you want to talk about a jobs program, you got it right there. Then there's the benefits to education, kids, science, getting kids into science, and all that. So, you know, for those reasons alone, the earthbound reasons, I think it's very compelling. And then, of course, there's the science on Mars and all the stuff that provides.
Yeah. The what's the latest of what they're sending back a color photo? Talk about that. Talk about the latest thing that we've seen from the Curiosity.
I went to a press conference up at JPL today because I live just down the hill. And, you know, usually by this time they start to dwindle a bit in terms of the numbers of the mainstream networks that are there. And it was packed. It took me 20 minutes to find a place to park. So I finally got in there and people were oohing and aahing. And, you know, these are reporters, so they're not easy to impress. But they were showing the high-res images of from the descent camera of the heat shield peeling off and falling. And we had seen yesterday some low-res stills of that. But they showed a motion picture sequence of that. And it was a real jaw-dropper. And they also have some enhanced images from the surface. They got the mast up today. And so they're starting to get some pictures down. Yeah, so the good stuff is starting to happen. And it looks like they're on an area that's very flat, very clear. There's pebbles and cobbles, but nothing that's going to get in their way. And actually, the coolest thing, I think, was when this thing came in, they had to eject some weight. When it was coming down through the atmosphere, they had these things called ballast weights they eject during part of their descent sequence. They're tungsten, so they're really heavy, you know. So these things popped off way up in the upper atmosphere, and they actually found them today with the camera. Now, that's kind of a novelty. It's like, okay, that's cool. They found the weights. But the neat part is they're able to see when they impact the soil how far in they went, how far they slid. So it gives you an idea of how hard that surface is and how difficult it's going to be for them to see what's below. Because, you know, when you land in a flat area like that, you have two choices. You can either drill or you can go find a hole somewhere that nature made. The whole idea behind landing Gale Crater, of course, is you've already got this geological, but basically is a 100-mile-wide drill site that some meteor came along and made for us. So the more information they get about that dirt surface, the more they can plan quickly what they're going to do.
Yeah, because, of course, then taking it further from what they're going to find and what they're going to do. We even had somebody, a chatter, just chime in here that said, highlight, he said, Rob, the space photography will be integrated into medical machinery. So then you go forward and you say, well, what can we do with some of what happens here with the Curiosity? And the answer is there's lots of valuable intel, right?
Yeah, and they had to really, building this rover was taxing. They had already built Pathfinder in the 90s, and then they built the Mars exploration rovers in the mid-2000s and sent those out. But this thing is so big and so heavy that to even keep it down to 2,000 pounds, they had to reinvent the way they did things. And then I'm sure you've seen the 7 Minutes of Terror, that wonderful film they put out, one of the best things NASA's done in years. And I don't know about you, but the first time I saw the way they're going to land this thing, I thought, really? That's really the best way to do this? So, I mean, there's a tremendous innovation there, more miniaturization, all that kind of stuff. But I like to think of it, I was doing some talks at the Johnson Space Center about a year ago, and I had people in front of the lunar module and the Apollo rocket, and they said, you know, every electronic thing you use today, you can thank this guy right here for, because it all started here. First, flyable integrated circuits, all kinds of stuff on that spacecraft that spun out, and you can't begin to calculate the billions and billions of dollars that we made off that program over the long haul. So when you look at it from that point of view and you move forward to this, all kinds of things are possible to spin out of this program.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation here. We're going to have to step away in a second. But how long will the Curiosity be up on Mars?
Well, it's got a 2-year primary mission, which is a Martian year. But the nuclear fuel supply it's got is probably good for somewhere between 7 and 12 years. So if nothing else goes wrong and they can keep the funding to actually do the operations, it'll be going for a good long time.
Yeah, and that's the key, keeping the funding. So the interest has to be up. It's good to get the interest up. If I'm NASA, public relations is still a very big, important part of what you have to do with the Curiosity, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you remember, no bucks, no Buck Rogers, you know. They got to get that message out there and get people excited. But, you know, their servers just about crash every time they do one of these missions. I don't know what the numbers were this time, but for the last couple of Mars rover flights, they were really, really taxed right to the limit. So people are interested. I think it's just maintaining that interest over the longer span of time. Because we get to the point where we expect great things from NASA and JPL. Every time they send something up and say, well, our mission's going to last 3 months. 2 years later, it's still trundling around. People go, well, that's the new norm.
Exactly. Hey, we're going to talk more with Rod Pyle. Hang on, everybody. He'll join us back on the flip side. We're talking about the Curiosity.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981. 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com. Sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com. Spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, FoodStore.com. Or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Mars and the Curiosity with Rod Pyle. He's the author of Destination Mars. I'm sure you have caught Modern Marvel's Apollo 11. You can credit Rod with that and lots of other things, just talking about lecturing at Johnson Space Center. Hey, Rod, when you lecture there, do you ever see a lot of the engineers fill up the auditorium? Does it make you a little nervous to have some of those kind of guys, those kind of cats in the audience and the brains?
Because this was the thing with NASA. They made me do it the first time in front of a whole room full of shuttle and Apollo people.
Oh.
And, you know, my stomach was like a knot of titanium through that whole thing. But it was okay. I got it right.
I was going to say, as long as you get the information right, because those people,
yeah,
they'll tell you. Wait a second, you were just a millisecond off there.
They don't walk in smiling, you know. They're kind of sort of like, okay, who's the new kid? But fortunately, I got it right.
What do you think it is? What is it, our fascination with Mars, of all the planets? Is it because of the whole alien thing, or is it beyond that? It's the red planet. What is it that fascinates us, I think, the most about Mars?
But, you know, it's the only one that I think most of us can picture actually going to. You know, you look at Venus, and years and years and years ago, we thought Venus was maybe filled with jungles and swamps and all that stuff. And now we know, of course, that it's 900 degrees Fahrenheit and about 1,000 pounds per square inch of acid and all kinds of nasty chemicals. So it's not the place that you want to go hang out. Mercury's too hot, got no atmosphere. Moon, very hot on the sunshine side, very cold on the shadow side, again, no air. So Mars is the only thing that even comes close, even though the atmosphere is really small and the soil is full of bleach. But it's about all we got. So I think from that standpoint, it's very attractive because it's a place people can actually imagine going and exploring. And also, you know, it's been a part of our lore for a long time. We've all seen the War of the Worlds. We've seen those other Martian invasion movies. And I thought it was kind of interesting as I was sitting there when the thing was landing. I thought, you know, this is a real twist, because this time we're taking the heat rays to Mars and we're going to go around and blast rocks with them instead. So we're kind of getting even for all the things the Martians did to us in science fiction over the years.
I love it. When you put together Destination Mars, and the subtitle of that is New Explorations of the Red Planet, do you dive into some of, you know, what we're talking about? What are we, the whole idea of the exploration of it? And I suppose it's because of the reasons you just said, that the interest is so heavy with Mars. How'd you, in doing that research, what were some of the interesting things that you uncovered that you didn't know?
Well, you know, I'm old enough. I'm 56 years old, so I'm old enough to just barely remember Mariner 4, which is 1965. And up to that point, you know, they were pretty sure there wasn't much air there. The atmosphere is very thin. Probably wasn't much in the way of vegetation, all that. But it was still something we'd just seen through telescopes. And that idea of Percival Lowell, that crazy astronomer for the turn of the century, that was saying, well, there's canals and people there and huge cities and all kinds of amazing technology and so forth. You know, there's still a few, especially kids like me, thinking, well, yeah, that could be there. We don't know. And, of course, Mariner 4 flew by and showed this kind of desert-like planet, and everybody sort of went, aw. But, you know, I think there's just this huge attraction of going out there. And one of the things that was a real thrill for me was uncovering some of the stuff in the archives, the transcripts of interviews with the guys that were from the very early part of the unmanned program, so like Mariner 4 and Mariner 9 when it went in orbit on the planet, reading these interviews with these characters that invented the first interplanetary camera and figured out how you're going to keep that thing orbit. I mean, it's going millions and millions, hundreds of millions of miles out into space. You've got to figure out how to keep pointed the right direction. How do you do that? Well, it turns out you have a little star sensor that stares at Canopus, but this is the first time they'd really tried it, so it was kind of a nerve-wracking thing. So reading those were a real thrill. And then interviewing the people that are still with us or have worked on more current missions and more recent missions was fun. People from Viking and from Mars Pathfinder and so forth. It was all just a blast.
Yeah, and it's and the people that work on this, I mentioned this earlier, there's like 700 people, I think, connected to Curiosity. So the good news is there's some people that were employed because after the shuttle went down, which I love the shuttle program, I can't wait to go to the Intrepid and see the shuttle that's there, even though it was the test shuttle, as you know. I don't know. There's something about that. And I think people will really get a kick out of it going on that aircraft carrier and getting to sort of see, touch, feel kind of thing and connect a little bit more to the space program. But that's in jeopardy. Some of the smartest people, the engineers, lots of engineers, lost jobs. And I think NASA's in danger of losing some of the best and the brightest. So the good news is also a lot of smart people are being employed and still on the payroll, don't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, there's a huge gulf between the manned and unmanned program.
Yeah.
JPL exists at the long, narrow end of a very long pipeline, and the money that comes out at the end of that pipeline isn't a whole lot. They work on what, for the kind of thing they're doing, very modest budgets, and they do keep a lot of people employed. There's many thousands of the lab, any percentage at any given time are working on Mars, and all kinds of Earth orbital programs and things like when Hubble was up and so forth. But they also have people at different universities. JPL is managed by Caltech, but they work at Cornell and Columbia and Stanford and all these other universities. So it is a broad reach, but, you know, compared to the manned space program, it's like a little camp up at JPL. You know, they don't even begin to compare. So you're right. I mean, we lost lots and lots of people. And if you remember the Apollo days, it's a little bit like that. When they shut down the Apollo assembly lines with Saturn V, a lot of people got put out of work. A lot of that technology was forgotten. I was talking to Rob Manning. A lot of people might remember if they were Mars Pathfinder fans. He was a handsome young fellow with a beard, happens to look a lot like me, I might add. It was fist pumping when the thing touched down, and he was also on TV for this landing. But I was talking to him about, you know, how you get one of these things down to the surface. And he said for the Pathfinder, they had wanted originally at one point to use descent rocket engines, but they hadn't used them since Viking, which is in 76. This is 20 years later, 96. They couldn't find anybody that knew how to do it. Because they hadn't done a throttleable engine like that since then. They said, you know, we just couldn't find somebody who could put it together for us without starting from scratch. So we had to use bouncy beach balls instead. So, yeah. You do have this tremendous brain drain every time this happens, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I agree with you. The and talking about the manned program, what do you think is going to happen there? I mean, now we're hitching rides with other countries. That's what we have to do at this point. Do you think that that's going to get pumped back up and we're going to have something else eventually in the next, hopefully in the next decade?
Well, you know, people talk a lot about, are we going to go private? Is the space industry going to start using private rocket builders and so forth? And it's important to remember that these rockets have always been built by private companies, whether it was Lockheed or Boeing or Rocketdyne building the engines. These are private contractors working for NASA who gave them the money. Now we've got Elon Musk and SpaceX doing something similar. They're still getting money from NASA, but NASA isn't footing the whole bill. These are entrepreneurial operations. But, you know, we just saw tremendous success with Dragon rendezvousing at the space station, and it's probably only going to be about another year and a half to 3 years before that thing's carrying people. So there is hope there. NASA is still working on their Orion space capsule, which is a bigger version of the Apollo capsule, of course, much newer and more up to date. Their problem is they don't have a rocket to put underneath it right now, and that's a real hitch. So it is an interesting time, you're right, and I think a lot of people feel there's a little lack of a sense of direction. But just over the weekend, Lori Garver, the deputy administrator of NASA, was out here. She gave a speech, and it was a very inspiring speech. And basically, she was talking about the teamwork between private industry and NASA and going out to explore asteroids and near-Earth objects and so forth, and then eventually Mars in about 2035. But it's interesting, if you've been around for a while, you always heard Mars is 30 years away, Mars is 30 years away, Mars is 30 years away if there's a people. And once again today, I heard, yeah, Mars is 30 years away, and I thought, let's go sooner. You know, we've been thinking about this since the 80s. It's time to go.
I joked with you in the beginning about you should have been an astronaut, but if you had a chance to hitch a ride, I mean, and record everything, I mean, you've produced these documentaries, you are Mr. Space Guy. What if they talked about taking journalists and whatnot before? What if you had the chance to get on one of those rides in the future? I mean, you might be in your 80s, Rod, but would you go up?
Well, yeah, it's funny. I was at this conference over the weekend, we were talking about this, and I said an interesting spin on that question is there's so much radiation that you would absorb between here and Mars during that nine-month run or however long it takes, depending on how you're doing it. So let's say that takes 6 to 8 years off your life. Would you still go? And I asked everybody that came to the table I was sitting at because I was signing books, and I said, would you go? And to a person, they all said yes. And these were everything from hardcore fanatics to casual passersby. They might give it a second thought when the time came, but if it was my shot, absolutely. There's no question. I go tomorrow.
Yeah. I think I might go with you. I think I would.
Cool.
I couldn't turn it down. If I had the opportunity, I couldn't turn it down. I can't tell you that I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't, my stomach wouldn't be doing flip-flops, but I think I would, I'll tell you what, I think I would have loved that. Because imagine what the space program would have done with the Christy McAuliffe, sadly, the teacher who died. That was the plan. The plan, as you know, was to have that happen. And it looked like journalists and other people were going to be on board. But maybe in the future. Who knows? Maybe I'll meet you up there somewhere. Rod Pyle, thanks so much. If people want to get Destination Mars, they can go to the usual places. Amazon, right, and all that.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right, pick up the book. Good stuff. I mean, he is Mr. Space, let me tell you. I hope you've seen some of the work that Rod has done. And if you haven't, boy, and you like space in any form, you owe it to yourself to check out some of it for sure. Modern Marvels, I mentioned this, Apollo 11, just amazing. I think this was one of the first times I really touched it all together and realized, look at the work that Rod is doing. All right, stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends, a crazy thing. A bomb in a building, a government building in Detroit, just shoved under a desk. Nobody knew it was there. Are you kidding me? How does that happen?
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at CamelMilkForSale.com. and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
I like to see you move right across the floor.
In this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope your week has been going well. If not, oh, once you're on the other side of hump day, it gets better. Trust me. Not good for a security guard, I don't think, no matter what day of the week it is, when it turns out that this guard found a bag outside of a government building in Detroit last year, and you know what he did with it? Found a bag outside, stashed it under a desk. It was there for weeks. So the guard, nobody else in the building, aware that, guess what, it had a bomb in it. Homeland Security released information on this that said the guard's employer, a contractor, and the federal agency that actually oversees security at the Patrick McNamara Federal Building shared some of that responsibility for the bomb going undetected. So it was a IED. It didn't explode, but certainly it was a risk to the people in that building, and it was outside. So a security guard sees an empty bag and throws it under a desk. What, are you kidding me? After it was discovered, it was detonated by the Detroit police. Eventually, a Michigan man was charged with placing it in a canvas bag outside the building. Duh, he left fingerprints. And it contained a small locked sentry safe that was found in February of 2011. This building is a 27-story building that has, of course, it's a federal building. It has the FBI and a whole bunch of other offices. And it sat there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And here's the other odd part about this, too. during the time that it was there, two employees x-rayed it to try to figure out what was in it. One guard shook it and tried to figure out what the deal was. And they did a whole bunch of checks of the guard post. Some of them, they did like four or five, where they didn't even know that the bag had anything explosive in it. That is weak. So what the guard did, you think of the private security company and the contract they had with the government, you know, with the federal, the agency itself is actually the Federal Protective Service. And that's federal property. They protect federal property. The idea that the statement is, oh, poor judgment by the guard. Really, you think? What kind of guard? How do you get a gig as a guard when you see a bag? How many times do I go to the airport and hear, if you leave a bag unattended, it will be taken away. If you leave a bag, do not approach bags that are unattended. You hear that in Disneyland. You hear that on the shuttles going to Disneyland. So now you have a trained guard outside of a federal building. Do we have to remind people about Oklahoma City? And you put it under a desk. You put it under a desk. You store it there like it was somebody's belongings. Oh, somebody must have left this. I don't know. I think it's crazy. I think it's outrageous. And this guard, I hope he got booted. And I hope that this agency that they contracted with, I hope they're not going back to that agency again. That's so weak. It could have blown up at least a piece of that building. Who knows? They detonated it and, like, it was, okay, no big deal. We're detonating it. All right, speaking of bombs of a different sort, a big bomb, a publicity nightmare went off in the Komen organization when they got tangled up earlier in the year. The beginning of the year is when this exploded. I remember it because I was at a conference and someone ran up to me immediately and said, who do you know at the Komen Foundation? Because I knew a few people. Who do you know? What's going on? Oh, boy, they're in the thick of it. And the reason is because in January, remember, Komen decided to eliminate the money that they gave Planned Parenthood for mammograms. They decided they weren't gonna do that because of the congressional investigation. You know, Planned Parenthood was the focus of what they were talking about in Congress at the time, because of the anti-abortion stuff. And that's what started the firestorm. So this is an organization that talks about cancer and women and health, the health of women, all that stuff. And then once the Planned Parenthood arm was revealed, once all that stuff came out, then Komen said, oh, no, we're getting out of it. Then they decided to try to stop all the criticism, all the fallout from what happened, and they wanted to continue to fund Planned Parenthood for just the mammograms. That's what they were funding them for. So briefly, though, they didn't. Briefly, the idea was they were ending funding for that program, but they really never got over that. So since then, five executives resigned, and some of the organizers for the Races for the Cure, which are everywhere. I mean, those pink ribbons, are you kidding? That started the whole ribbon thing. Everywhere you go. And they saw numbers drop for the races, and a lot of people said, forget it, I'm not gonna get involved with Komen anymore. So I think that this is the reason why some of this stuff is happening. Nancy Brinker, who is the public face of the charity and the founder, this was because of her sister that she created the Komen Foundation, and it's amazing how much money has been pumped into it. So she steps aside, and then the president is going to leave too, and just they're going to have different roles, I guess. But I think with the shifting roles, maybe they're hoping that however many numbers of people that dropped out, they'll be able to get those numbers back with the races and the stuff. Because, I mean, listen, pink ribbons, guys, you all know about the pink ribbons. Who doesn't know what the pink ribbon stands for? So is there any doubt that when it comes to, like, breast cancer detection, that kind of stuff, and prevention and blah, 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 that's what you think of? I mean, it became, they hit the mother load. It became huge. And I say the mother load because certainly you don't want, nobody wants any of their mothers, daughters, sisters, wives to die from breast cancer. So the good news is that it really was funneling money to help people, and it was raising that whole awareness thing. But boy, they didn't want to raise any controversy, and they certainly did. So this is the fallout. Even with the face, even with the founder of Komen deciding, I'm going to take a different role in the organization because of all this stuff. All right, as we make that last couple of leaps here on the show, what I thought was interesting in the Olympics, because now the U.S. overtaking China, I mentioned that briefly, with 81 medals, there were a couple of people that you could point out, and one of them, and I happened to catch this, Allison Felix finally wins the 200-meter title. She couldn't get it in Athens and Beijing, so that was huge. Aries Merritt won the 110-meter hurdles gold medal, and then you had the long jump. And how people do the long jump, it may be because I just always think you have to have such long legs, you have to have great leaping abilities or something. But I'll tell you what, finally, Brittany Reese, I say finally because this was something she wanted to do forever, she gets one of the three gold medals, the third medal, at the U.S. track and as the U.S. track and field team went really gold at the London Games, and she became the first American woman to win the long jump title since Jackie Joyner Kersee did it in 1988. She put the best mark in the final with 23 feet 4.5 inches. Whew, that is something. 23 feet 4.5 inches. And you sort of knew, because I saw this moment, you sort of knew when it happened, oh yeah, she's got it. You could tell with the leap that this was it. And she's been through a lot of things with Mississippi, living in Mississippi, and trying to help the people of Mississippi because of Hurricane Katrina. Remember back in 2005, she lived through that. She had all kinds of damage to her house, and so she's been wanting this for a very, very long time. Much like the other athletes, there's always a story behind that medal. Trust me. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me at americatonight.net.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, BERKEY, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.